Thank you, Michelle. Good afternoon, ladies. I have no idea where you're coming from today as far as circumstances in your life. But if you don't remember anything else I say today, I'm going to give you a pithy little thing that you can probably take home and remember. First of all, that God is good. And secondly, that life is hard. We've had developments, even in our family, in recent days that let us know that, again, there is much opposition to the Word of God and the work of God. And so God is good, but life is hard. And we must stay in the Word. That's the key. That's been the key in my life, in my husband's life. And if you are not in a situation right now where you are actively studying the Bible for yourself, not just being taught by someone, although that's critical, and we must be in a good, solid Bible teaching church. That's primary. But if you've not learned to study the Bible for yourself, I would urge you to plan to do that. And one thing I'm going to do today is just to explain to you how you might do that through one of the Psalms. My title today, which was really just kind of off the top of my head when Lisa first talked to me, but actually it turns out to be very appropriate, I guess, the more time has gone on. But seeking sanity in the Psalms, in a world that seems to have gone mad, is so appropriate at any time. It is definitely appropriate in our world today. As I heard someone say the other day, I don't think it's that things have gotten that much worse so much as technologically we're just aware of all of it. We have 24/7 news and we're more aware of how crazy things have gotten. But for instance, in our country, I can't imagine visualizing a day even 20 years ago where people would honestly be saying, when they go to a restroom, say in a mall or something, and looking at the women's sign and the men's sign and thinking to themselves, now, how do I feel today? That will determine which bathroom I go in. I mean, that's just bizarre. But that's where we are, ladies, and that is part of what we have to deal with now. But what we'll be doing during this time is, first of all, I have a question for you. And by the way, I think we're going to need some water. Just a minute. If you could only keep one book out of the 66 in the Bible, is there one in particular that you would choose to keep? Now, you don't have to answer that, but just think about it. And I can tell you that 20 years ago, I would not have had the same answer that I have right now. But the Psalms have become so very dear and helpful to me that I wanted to use this as my springboard with the understanding that what we're really saying here today, ladies, is it takes the whole Bible to be a whole Christian, not just one book, or not just the Old Testament, or not just the New Testament. However, it's been through a great deal of life experience that I've come to the point where I now love this book that I only sort of read and hit highlights of from time to time in previous years. So what we'll do first is I'd like to talk with you about why the Psalms, why they're so important and why they're so helpful. And then in the second part, we'll turn to a particular psalm, and I'd like to explain to you how you can use it for your own personal growth, how to study it, to point out some particular helps from it. It's one of David's psalms. And then the third thing we'll do is I'll take you back through several psalms and give you specific examples from my own life personally to let you know how valuable and how helpful they have been to me. So first of all, let's just talk for a minute about why the Psalms and why they can be so helpful, what I'm talking about here on the importance of the Psalms. First of all, it is through the Psalms that I believe we learn particularly the character of God, the attributes of God, what He really is like. And that is so important, ladies. It is absolutely essential, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But I would like to, by way of illustration of that particular point, read you a quote from Spurgeon that I've found especially encouraging through the years, just thinking about the fact that we need to know the character of God. He wrote, or probably preached, this particular paragraph, "Nothing will so enlarge the intellect, nothing so magnify the whole soul of man, as a devout, earnest, continued investigation of the great subject of the deity. Would you lose your sorrow? Would you drown your cares? Then go plunge yourself in the Godhead's deepest sea. Be lost in His immensity, and you will come forth as from a couch of rest, refreshed and invigorated. I know nothing which can so comfort the soul, so calm the swelling billows of grief and sorrow, so speak peace to the winds of trial, as a devout musing upon the subject of the Godhead." You know, the Psalms are full of history as well. Many people have found it to be true that we can know God wonderfully as we use the Psalms to sing, to pray, to study. For instance, the 46th Psalm was especially helpful to Luther as he was going through his leadership of the Reformation. And he actually based his hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," on Psalm 46. Many, many others have been very significant down through history for men and women to learn who God is. Ladies, we by nature see the circumstances of our lives as prominent. Whatever the latest catastrophe was, or the crisis, or the disappointment, is usually first in our vision. But when we learn to go into God's Word and to be reminded of what He is like, we can train our minds and refresh our souls by coming back to the fact that His character is more important than any circumstance. His truth, the fact that He is sovereign, that He is lovingly sovereign, can make all the difference in the world when we're facing a new crisis or a new opposition in our lives. And so to be able to know God better and better through His Word as a whole, and as we're talking about today, especially in the Psalms, is absolutely indescribably important. As we begin to go through Psalms, and by the way, I have found it personally helpful to continually, in my morning devotions, read through the Psalms straight through, pray through, sometimes sing through over and over again. And I can't encourage you to do that enough. That's not the only place I use, but I have found it to be a wonderful starting place to refocus my thoughts, because I don't know about you, but I can go to bed thinking really holy thoughts and get up the next morning thinking really unholy thoughts. And there's something about going back to what God's Word says, and especially in the Psalms, these wonderful songs that the nation of Israel sang, and that we can still sing today, by the way, that helps bring my mind back to who God is. And so we can learn the character of God. Another thing that we can especially learn, I believe, in the Psalms is to learn to worship. You know, we are by nature a very man-centered species. It's not by accident that sin has an I in the middle of it. We are by nature very me-centered. And so in order to become lined up with reality, with sanity, we need to come back to the fact that this world, ladies, is God-centered. He made it. He created it. He's going to bring it to conclusion. And we need to come back to that continually. So to learn to worship Him and to be Him-centered and to declare His worth and to do like David did in the midst of very difficult circumstances, to bring our hearts back to worship, whether we feel like it or not, ladies, that's not the issue. You know, it's been kind of refreshing here in South Africa not to hear a verb used as much as it is in our country. The typical thing in America is for someone to ask you how you feel about something. Well, I think we need to reckon with the fact that, yes, there are emotions, and we as women particularly, I think, have to deal with them. But the most important thing for us as Christian women, ladies, is what does God say and what is the truth in this matter? What I feel will change depending on whether I had pizza last night or not, or what a lot of different things. Our emotions are affected by so many different circumstances, whether our husband was kind to us that day or whether our husband is still living or whether all kinds of things affect our feelings, right? But I find that if I come back to the truth of who God is and ask Him to help me line my heart up with His word and trust Him, it can change the whole perspective and even affect the rest of the day, for that matter. But what I've found, especially in the Psalms, in praying them and reading them regularly, is that they not only express the feelings so often that I'm feeling right then, the despair or the discouragement or the joy or whatever, but in persistently praying and singing these psalms, my heart and my emotions are also changed. It not only, do you hear what I'm saying? It not only can express what I'm feeling, but then as I pray them in faith, God can change my feelings. Not that we're all supposed to be running around happy, happy, happy all the time. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that God can enable us to have God-honoring emotions and God-honoring responses. And so, as we learn to worship through the Psalms and to pray biblically, this is another aspect of it. As we'll see in a minute when we look at one of David's Psalms, I'm afraid that sometimes we've been given the false impression that our prayers are supposed to sound really good. Well, actually, David's were really good, but really honest. He didn't hesitate to say to the Lord, "I'm really wondering where you are, God, and I'm really having trouble with my faith right now." And so, for us to follow the pattern in the Psalms will enable us to express what we're really thinking and feeling. And there I go, using the word feeling again. But anyway, it is important. But as we come back to praying biblically, we will learn from the Psalms to pray honestly, but also, very importantly, to pray God-centeredly. This world really is theocentric. David was theocentric. And we as women, ladies, can become theocentric if we will follow after God wholeheartedly and learn His word and be in a good situation where we're continually learning His word better and better. And then another thing that is a reason for us to emphasize the Psalms is that through them we can receive help for that particular moment, that particular need, that strength that we need to live a life that is based on truth. All of the truth that we really need to know about God actually is in the Psalms, even though there's not a great description of the cross and other things that are obviously extremely important. But if we've studied other parts of the Bible and then focus on the Psalms, we realize that we really can, through it, receive strength for that particular day and for that particular need, and especially to help us grow in our faith and to go on with Him. Ladies, you do realize that God doesn't want us to be in the same place this year as we were last year or 5 years ago in our walk with Him. He wants us to love Him more, to love others more, to know His Word better, but because of that, to have grown in our faith. Only the Lord knows what both of our countries may be facing in the days to come. But I am quite sure that He is ahead of us and that we do not have to be worried about it, because He is the one who has the perfect plans, and He is the one who can enable us to face it without being so fearful that we are shaky in our faith. But what I'm saying is, ladies, we must be growing in our faith in order to face whatever comes. It may be a rosy future from the Christian standpoint, but in both your country and mine, it's looking like there may be some real persecution. And some of you actually have had some in this country. And so we do need to be aware of the fact that one of God's purposes for us in the Lord Jesus Christ is to grow in our faith in Him. And I believe that the more we spend time in the Psalms, in praying and learning them and putting ourselves in the place of David or Asaph or whoever was the writer of that particular psalm, and trying to imagine what it was like when they wrote this in the original context and understand what it meant in their situation, and then look for ways that God would use it in our lives to apply it and use it that particular day or month or whatever your current situation is. So let's look at Psalm 57. If you have a way to look at scripture on your Bible or in your Bible or on your phone or whatever, if you would do that, it would be helpful, because we're going to talk about Psalm 57 specifically for just a few minutes. Okay, first of all, this is a psalm written by David, and David lived in very difficult situations at various times. In this particular psalm, he was fleeing from Saul, and keep in mind that he had already been anointed king, but it was 14 or 15 years before he actually fulfilled that role. And so he is such an example for us in trusting God. And aren't we thankful that he wrote all of these things down, that God inspired him, and that down through the years, men and women have suffered so that we can have a copy of it in our very hands. But he was, as the note probably says in your Bible, or if it doesn't, I'll just tell you that this was the circumstance was that he was in a cave hiding from Saul. Saul was chasing him. Saul had tried to kill him even when he was his psalmist. Here was a man whose son David loved dearly, a close friend. And so this was a really maddening situation for him, no doubt. A very earth-shattering time for him. And yet, he's praying. When you hit a crisis, ladies, do you pray first? Or do you WhatsApp your best friend? Well, now you might want to WhatsApp your best friend and ask her to pray for you. That's okay. But I find that if I will remember to pray first, It helps me evaluate then the friend's advice if I do talk with someone else immediately. And that's exactly what I believe David had a habit of doing, not only of turning to the Lord in prayer, but then thankfully actually recording that. And so, in a sense, David's own circumstance was that the world had gone mad. It must have seemed very upside down to him, even as so many parts of our situations do now. And yet, he said to the Lord, notice in verse 1, he knew God well enough to ask him to be gracious to him. That first verse says in New American Standard, "Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you," or in thee. I have the old NASB, actually. "And in the shadow of thy wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by." Now that verse alone, ladies, tells us that David knew his God. He knew enough to appeal to him, to be gracious to him. And that tells us a lot of things. For one thing, it tells us he knew he needed God's grace. He knew he could not earn God's favor. Are you perhaps under the impression that if you live a really good life, when God calls you home, when your last day on earth has been lived, that it will be determined which place you go by how well you lived? If you're under that impression, may I encourage you to know that the whole of this book says the opposite. God, who gave you life humanly, is also the one who can enable you to be a part of his family and go to be with him forever, but only if we admit that we cannot earn his favor, no matter how good a life we may have lived in the world's eyes. And so I think it's important to realize that David knew God well enough to know that he needed his grace. He also knew God well enough to know that God was the one and the only one who could ultimately take care of him. And so I love the phrase where he says, "In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by." Now, David didn't know the future, but he knew his God. And he knew that he could trust him to do what was best. And so he cries out to him, as verse 2 says, "I will cry out to God Most High." He had a high view of God. He knew God was holy and righteous and majestic, not his buddy, but the high and holy and majestic God on whom his entire life depended, and who accomplishes all things for me. Ladies, I'm about to hit 70 next year, Lord willing, if he gives me that many more months, and I cannot tell you how much I realize the truth of that statement now, and I certainly didn't at 20. And so may I encourage you to press on over the old age hurdles and everything else, because it's worth it to get to a point where it's not easier, but you at least do realize in retrospect that it was really all God. All the good things that happened, all the accomplishments, all of the blessings of family and everything else, it's really God who has accomplished everything. And so he says confidently in this prayer that God would send from heaven and save him. And he expected him to deal with his enemies. Notice also that he knows the character of God in verse 3 when he specifically says, refers to his loving kindness and his truth, or his faithfulness. So he knew God was gracious. He knew God was able. He knew God was loving and faithful. But then in verse 4, he goes on to admit his predicament because he says, my soul is among lions. In other words, I'm in a real mess here, Lord. This is not an easy place. And the guy who's after me has an army, and everything is threatening, and it's really a tough place. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire. Very descriptive of a very, very difficult situation that he was in. But then, instead of camping there and having a pity party, like we can all do really easily, he turns back to what he really focuses on over and over again in all of his psalms, and that is in verse 5 where he says, be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. In other words, he was genuinely concerned about the glory of God, that the world would know this wonderful God that he knew. And so he wanted him to be exalted and him to be glorified above all else. And then he goes back in verse 6 to say, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down, and so forth. So he admits that this is not easy, and he is very honest and open with God. He doesn't try to gloss it over and make it sound like it's easy or okay. But then in verse 7 is where I think we especially see where David begins to turn around, in a sense, in the way his response to God changes everything. It didn't change his circumstance. But notice in verse 7, he says, my heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises. So he states that he's going to trust God. My heart, I'm confident. It's because of your grace, but I am confident. And my heart is going to be steady and clinging to you, Lord. But I love the fact that right here, as well as so many times in David's Psalms, he sings. Here he especially looks forward to getting back to corporate worship, and that's really so important that we sing together, that we sing corporately. But ladies, it's also important to sing in our homes and to sing privately. I do believe that my concept of God changed more when I learned to sing in my quiet time, specifically hymns that relate to particular attributes of God, than anything else. At that time, we didn't happen to be in a good church situation where there was good corporate singing. And so that's a factor. I'm not saying that's more important than the other, but I do know that it has made a huge difference to learn to sing. So if you're not in the habit of singing in your own quiet time, you may have to go out in the garden or in the someplace else to do it, maybe if you don't want anyone to hear you, but I do find it to be helpful. And then he goes on to say, awake, my glory, awake, my harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I know that the Jews basically had their quiet time the night starting the night before. But personally, I've found that getting up early is particularly helpful to me. It took a while to learn to do that because I didn't really want to. But thankfully, I had a very good example in my own dad, because every morning when I would get up, he would be in his chair with his Bible, reading and praying. And I just got the idea that if you wanted to walk with God, it probably needed to start early in the morning. However, all I'm saying is, even though David says, I will awaken the dawn, and that happened to be his case in this, do plan to get into God's word and to pray at the time of day that you are sharpest, that your mind is best. It happens to be for me early in the morning, but it doesn't have to be for you. But I do think that it's interesting that he says that evidently he was already praying and having his thoughts focused on God before the dawn came up, before the sun came up. When we had the privilege of living in Nairobi, Kenya, one of my friends there, Purity Mbuba, grew up on the slopes of Mount Kenya, being reared by a mom who had been deserted by her husband with seven children. And yet, Purity never remembered her mom saying anything bad about her dad. And what had happened previous to all of this was that her mom had come to faith through missionaries in eastern Kenya. Her mom could not read. And yet, she had learned through the teaching in that missionary church and through the hymns she had learned the character of God, her own need for salvation, and how to trust God and praise Him. And so, Purity said some of her fondest memories were of hearing her mom up before the sun would come up, singing and praising the Lord in the middle of that very difficult situation, rearing seven children, mainly by raising a couple of coffee plants, I think, as I recall. But the fact that her mom would do that impressed Purity, and she asked her one time, "Mom, why? I mean, why do you get up before the sun even comes up?" And she said her mom's reply was, "I don't want the birds to beat me praising God every morning for all that He has done for me." So, needless to say, that was an example that thankfully made not only a good impression on Purity, but helped bring her to real faith and to a strong walk with the Lord. But then he goes on to say in verse 9, "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations." Of course, Israel was to be a light to the nations. And so he's looking beyond this cave and beyond his own situation. And ladies, we need to do that often as well. We can so easily get mired in the midst of our circumstances and forget that God has so much more than our little circumstance, and that really this life is just a blip on the screen. It's preparation for eternity, and so all that we do in this life really should involve all of that and looking forward to not only being with Him forever, but also bringing as many people along with us as we possibly can through sharing the gospel and through loving well. And then in verse 10, he says again, "For your loving kindness is great to the heavens, and your truth are your faithfulness to the clouds." And then I love the way he closes there, because he comes back to the glory of God again. David was a man whom we all know sinned grievously, but he also repented thoroughly. And so he is still known as a man after God's own heart. And his example in every psalm that he wrote is such a sterling reminder to us, ladies, that number one, God really does know what He is doing, even when we wonder. And God really is the one that is so wonderfully loving and kind, and does want to show Himself strong to us if we will trust Him. That's just an example of one psalm, and something that I look for when I'm reading through various psalms is just, what's the situation? What did it mean to, what was David possibly thinking, or Asaph, or whatever? What was the immediate context? And then from that, what can I know about God from this? What does this remind me that God is like? And then also, in many cases, the repentance, the conviction of sin that often comes through especially through many of these psalms. But so in looking at it, we can look for the character of God in any of them. We can look for the sin that we need to repent of, or what He would have us do with that particular passage in way of obedience that day or whatever. In this third part, you can turn back to Psalm 3 if you have your Bibles. And I just want to share with you about three highlights. I was especially blessed in preparing for this because, thankfully, I had brought this particular Bible that my husband gave me on the day our son was born. And I used it for many years, but I had kind of, well, I'd replaced it several times with newer Bibles and so forth. But in doing this, I thought, I think I was using that. It's these particular points, and maybe I should see what Psalm meant what at that time. And so it's been a huge blessing just to go back and refresh, and it's also brought back specific things that God did and answers to prayer that I had totally forgotten about. And one of those, first of all, is in Psalm 3. I have shared many times, probably with some of you, how I'd never really known how to trust God for anything except my salvation until we moved to Nairobi, Kenya. And that was the first time I'd ever lived any place where there was a possibility of really being seriously involved in crime. Not my committing it, hopefully, but in being committed against me. Not that that's not possible. But anyway, that was the first time I'd had to trust God for security, I thought. But when I looked at this again, I realized that even though verse 5 in Psalm 3 says, I lay down and slept, I woke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Those verses did help me at that time, but to my great surprise, I looked and there was a date in 1978 where evidently those verses had been especially helpful to me, because we actually did have a burglary in Tennessee when Tim was about 5 years old. So anyway, that was, and I'm not saying to you ladies that repeating these verses causes God to do anything. What I'm saying is that the truth in these verses helped me to learn to go to sleep knowing that God was going to take care of me, even if there was a break-in, even if there was whatever. And many of you, I'm sure, could testify to that much more strongly than I can. But what I'm saying to you is, through these particular verses and praying them and asking God to help me not dishonor him by distrusting him, and to put my full faith in him and be willing to experience whatever he thought was best for me, made all the difference in the world. And within a couple of weeks, at that time, my husband was usually not in Kenya. He was in Sudan most of the time. And he would be gone for a couple of weeks at a time. And I literally could not sleep at first because I was so fearful of what might come through the door. But thankfully, God, in his wonderful grace, through learning to trust specifically in various parts of his word, and this isn't the only place, but this happened to be where I was at the time, and these verses, and then also over in verse 8 of chapter 4, where it says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for thou alone, O Lord, dost make me to dwell in safety. Ladies, whether you have Londolosa or whatever you have, God really is our only security. He is our protector. And he is the one who is with us in everything. And he is the one who can bring us out of it, glorifying him. Because this life is just temporary. But if we are in his family by his grace, we can look forward to an eternity of bliss and happiness and joy with him and with our loved ones forever. And so it puts things in perspective when we come back to truths like that. Also, in Psalm 5, where verse 3 says, in the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. Again, it was not easy, but eventually the Lord helped me to begin to form the habit of spending time with him first and speaking to him before anyone else. And that has been an extremely valuable thing. And if you just look for early morning people in the Bible, there's quite a list of those as well. Then I'll skip through several others because I think in Psalm 34, let's turn over to it, because that was another passage that was critical in my own growth in faith and learning to love and trust him more. In Psalm 34, verses 8 through 10, I have marked in my Bible 1975. And the reason that was so important is because at that point, my husband, we'd been in the military for 5 years, and my husband decided to get out and go to veterinary school. And we had two small children at the time. I had no idea how we were going to be supported, but I did know that I didn't want to be the breadwinner, nor did my husband want me to be. And as I read and meditated on these particular verses, the Lord began to just reassure me, not through anything other than straight scripture, that he would provide for us. And it was not easy. And I did keep some children in the home, and my husband did part-time jobs, and we did everything we could, as well as getting a small stipend from Uncle Sam because of his military years. But I learned that God does care about providing for our needs, and that he does care about the details of how our home life operates, and that his word is also where we get that information. And so that was especially helpful. And then up a little bit earlier in that psalm, I have 1992, March of 1992, those verses that say, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Because at that time, there was a real possibility that we would lose our marriage. And I was very fearful that that was going to happen. And yet, the Lord, in his grace, gave the ability to walk through that time, trusting him and learning to trust him more in depth than ever before. And I'm so thankful. So those verses are very special to me because they are ones that I particularly prayed and leaned on at that time. Then in Psalm 42, this is not going chronologically, but this was especially meaningful as well. Psalm 42 and 43, I experienced what I'm sure must have been postpartum depression, and I had never really had anything even close to depression before. But in Psalm 42 and 43, where the psalmist says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And then all of the verses that follow there, preceding verse 5, where the psalmist speaks to his own soul. He says, why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. And right there, and then later, at the latter part in verse 11, and then again in 43, over and over again, he speaks to his soul. He tells himself, he reminds himself to hope and trust in God. And he remembers what God is like. He remembers what he knew of him. Remember from the land of Jordan and the Hermon and all the things that he recounts that he would have known. And by the way, David's faith is so encouraging and amazing to me, because you realize, ladies, he didn't have a whole Bible to go with. He just had what he would have known from the Pentateuch and what he would have known from learning to trust God day by day. But anyway, those particular verses were especially helpful to me because I kept coming back to them and asking God to bring me out of that. And through his word, I had the hope that eventually I would feel differently. Not that that was the main issue, but God in his grace and his faithfulness did bring me out of that. But those verses have been so very, very precious to me ever since, because he reminded me through them that he's trustworthy, that he has never yet failed to keep his promises. And he is the one who is truly our help and our God. And so we can hope in him. Now, he's also remembering the temple worship here and being in God's presence. And he says that he longs for that privilege again. And I can so identify with that just simply because of an illness experience God allowed me to go through a year or so ago, because there was a time when for a whole month I really literally was not able to go and join our family, our corporate worship at our local church there in Texas. And actually, that was the hardest part. There was pain involved in this, but it was the lack of being able to go and sing together and hear God's word taught powerfully and have my soul ministered to, even though I was staying in his word at home and I had friends ministering to me and bringing meals and doing all kinds of loving acts. I really can identify with the fact that he longed to be back in the presence of God with other Christians, with other believers, with other Israelites at that point, remembering the temple worship and longing for that. Well, what I'm saying to you, ladies, is, for one thing, God is a very personal God, and he wants us to receive help and strength from him through his word. But ladies, if you do not truly belong to him because you've realized your own personal sin and that Jesus Christ paid for that sin on the cross and that that is your only hope of being his family, these Psalms are not for you. They're for believers. And so if there's any doubt in your mind today of where you would be if you died tonight, may I encourage you to know two things. Number one, God knows exactly where you are, and he wants you to admit that you can't earn heaven and that you cannot earn righteousness. But he also wants you to know that he loved you enough to give his own son to pay the horrific price 2,000 years ago so that you can know his loving embrace and his truth in Scripture. This is a book written to his family members. And when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and move into the family of God, it comes alive. And it becomes the source of your growing in faith, because it is your fuel. It is the fuel for our faith. And it becomes the source for your own comfort and strength, regardless of your situation. And so I would encourage you, if you aren't sure that you're truly in the family of God, that you would find someone and talk to us today. Because God does not promise us tomorrow. None of us know how much longer we will actually live on this earth. But he does. And he invites us to trust him to come into his family. That's how gracious and wonderful he is. He is a God who loves and who has extended his grace so that we might know him. But it is all about him. It's all about his glory and all about his plan for this world. And so may I urge you to take seriously God's word and God's offer of salvation. And to speak with someone or to go home and kneel by your bed and open your Bible and say, Lord, I really don't know if I know you, but I want to. I can promise you God responds to that because he promises us that those who seek him will find him. But it doesn't come through Muhammad, and it doesn't come through New Age. It comes through the only book that he inspired and has preserved for us down through the years. And so may I just encourage all of our hearts today just to remember that God really is good. He has given us this book. He has given us his son. And he is always good and always will be. But that life is not promised to be easy. It is wonderful. It is sometimes ecstatically joyful and other times really hard. But if we will learn this book better and better and learn to live by it and enjoy it and share it with others, this journey on earth can be even more of an adventure and a great joy for us personally and also for our families. Would you pray with me? Father, how we do thank you that you are such a good and loving and gracious God. And Father, I thank you too that you have promised us that in this world we will have tribulation, and yet that you are the one who enables us to walk through growing in you and looking to you and trusting you and knowing the joy that comes through realizing that really you are the supreme and the most important person in all the universe, and that you've just given us the privilege of being a part of your world. And so I pray, Father, especially for any women in this room today who have not known the joy of trusting you and walking with you, have not known why they were really created. Thank you, Father, that through your word we can find out not only who you are, which is the most important, but why we are here and what you have done in order to give us eternal life. And we will thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Just one more thing, Lisa. What I was going to close with this, and I forgot to pull out my note here. There are many old hymns that have been written that are wonderful, but there are also some newer ones. And I would encourage you, especially if you're not sure of your status with the Lord Jesus right now, to just think about the words of this particular hymn that has been written in recent years. How deep the Father's love for me, for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the father turns his face away. As wounds that mar that chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.